Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hello, good morning. Welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Quetzalcoatlum, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, here as I am most Thursday mornings with you. Hope you're doing well. Today I wore shorts to work to the station today, which is... I wore shorts to my other job where I make pizza, which makes sense because it's hot next to the oven. But we're here. We're in summer short work weather, at least until the rain returns inevitably. But hey, I'm happy. Hope you had a nice weekend and a good week up to this point. I've had a lot of hanging out with the in-laws and going to watch my partner run the BMO Half Marathon. Watching my sports team cause me psychic damage and then a little bit of hope. Anyway, lots of stuff going on. Today on the show, I will be bringing you another episode of Something Else, the program created by Cooley from CFUV, an Indigenous futurist speculative fiction podcast. Super cool. I played the first episode of that, titled The WS Complex, a few weeks ago, and promised that I would continue to play some episodes as we move through the rest of this year. So I'm going to. Today's episode is called Indigenophilopath. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, just a tiny little bit of music, because let's just say it, my favorite local artist, certainly my favorite local pop artist, Devours, has released a long-awaited, it's only been about a year since the previous record. Has it really been that long? Sorry, I'm just like going down and looking. Escape from Planet Devours came out in 2021, which makes it 2 years old. Goodness, okay. It is long-awaited. Anyway, the new record, Homecoming Queen by Devours, is amazing. As is the latest single from it called 10 Things I Crave About You, right here on Speak Up.
You were a skull.
10 Things I Crave About You from the new record Homecoming Queen by Devours. Just amazing. Pristinely produced. Delightful pop melodies. A little bit of a new metal underpinning, as we have come to expect with Devours. The new record Homecoming Queen is out now, so check that out. And now here on CJSF Speak Up, I'm going to play you a program from another NCRI station at the University of Victoria, CFUV. This, as I mentioned, is the program Something Else, produced by Cooley Ross. And we're just going to get right into it, and then I'll come check in with you afterwards.
You're listening to Something Else, an original podcast story created by me, Cooley.
Audio adventures in Indigenous futurism.
This is episode 2, titled Indigenous Philopath.
The silence of a humming city. Sounds crashing into concrete and onto one another. The backwash sound buzz filling the air like a busy beehive. In constant motion, they compete with the bright lights, the hologram ads, the lasers and scanners that penetrate every nook. Perched above a convenience store house in an old laundry services building is the hole in the wall she crawled into years ago. Through a window crack, the smells of tide, cigarettes, and broken dreams drift up to the quaint little rail cars her landlords call home. The glow of the city grows as night is settling in. The familiar drawl of sirens awaken her. Groggy, she rolls over and rubs her eyes. Fumbling around, she finds it. She takes a big, long drag. She lights her smoke in bed.
Go away. I'm not interested. She isn't here.
Naked, she plops out of bed. Wraps herself in a satin robe.
I'm coming.
She grabs her grandfather's old abalone pistol and goes to the door.
Who are you?
Nervously, as her canoe begins to speak.
I'm looking for Cooley Ross. Cooley C. Ross. I've been searching for you for the past 2 years. May I come in?
No.
Cooley, please. I've been searching tirelessly for you. We all have. Can you please just hear me out?
All right. But if you want my time, it's going to cost you a pack of Mother Earth and a bottle of fire water. You can grab them downstairs.
Azur hurries downstairs to make his purchases and is back at Cooley's door in minutes.
Come in. You can have 15 minutes of my time.
The apartment walls are barren. All that furnishes this place is a cluttered desk, a mattress, a small nightstand, and piles of paper fill every corner. She sits down on the only chair, gesturing for Azur to sit on the floor.
What do you want?
Hi, I'm a writer, just like you. I can't believe I'm meeting you. I have to say, I'm a huge fan. I'm probably your biggest fan. I mean, you changed my life. Your work with your podcast series, NDAs, and the change you brought about. It really inspired me. I'm just so honored to meet you.
You tracked me down just to say that? Well, you wasted your time. Nothing to see here. Look around. I used to be a writer. No one to look up to now.
Used to be? Your podcast won awards. It was the match that lit the flame that brought about great change for our people. The race riots? I mean, they were really important. They brought around the end to Britannians and some big changes for the Indian community. Do you know a lot of people really look up to you?
You know the power that they had then. They had lawyers, politicians, professors, and they made sure I was discredited as a writer. My own people accused me of lateral violence. I became a national joke. It's been a struggle, just to scrape by.
Azur is walking around in the place, and he notices a trash can in the middle of the room. Inside, he picks up a trophy from 2024.
What is this doing in here?
It's exactly where it needs to be, to remind me that that part of my life is trash. You've got 5 more minutes.
Miss Ross, I'm here to offer you some work. We really need you. We have a team of writers and researchers to back you. There's a huge problem facing Indian community again. And we need you, your voice, your fire, your mind. They're at it again. They found a way to impersonate being Indigenous again.
Well, that's impossible. We have the NDNA scan. People can't just say they're Indigenous anymore. They require proof. And that scan, it can't be faked.
That's the thing, Cooley. They're not Indigenous, and they are passing the scan.
Well, maybe y'all need to just do better research and figure that out. Like I said, can't beat that technology. After public pressure increased, the Fed stepped in and mandated the NDNA scans. That's a closed chapter in Indian history now. No more pretendians. Okay, your time's up. Listen, I don't get involved in this stuff anymore.
Oh, please, we really need you.
He writes down his number and exits the apartment. Cooley spends some time writing in the darkness. Sirens constantly whizzing around her apartment building. She stands in the cold night air, letting it bite her skin. Her smoke drifts up to her landlord's tiny homes on the roof. They're always complaining about it. She lights another before she ventures back inside. Today's meetings, you could say, has her a bit agitated. Even the drink doesn't seem to dull the pain of those old wounds. She thinks about her time creating the series, receiving national acclaim, and then all the backlash. Her tummy growls. Smoke in mouth, she heads downstairs and grabs her typical supper. A microwave bowl of instant noodle soup. She sits outside on the bench and gulps it down, chasing it, of course, with a couple cigarettes. She's just about to go back upstairs when she notices the hologram talking about some supernatural event they're calling the Great Unfolding. Not really her area of expertise, supernatural or biological occurrences, but enough to spark her curiosity. She's walking away when a familiar voice fills the projection. It's the voice of somebody she's very familiar with. The voice of Miss Daphne Williams. Daphne was the first person that Cooley exposed for fraud in her podcast. Daphne was a lawyer at the time. She kicked up a real dust storm for Cooley, suing her with slander. So what was this old foe doing? Cooley steps closer to the 3D billboard to listen.
Tansay, it is such an honor to stand before all of you today as I humbly announce my candidacy for this year's presidential election. As all of you know, after I was rigorously vetted by the reparations department and the NDNA scan, I have worked tirelessly to uplift my Indigenous community since becoming an elected official last year. And now, before the Creator tonight, I am thrilled to take a step towards becoming our country's first Indigenous president.
Cooley feels heat rise from behind her shoulders, up the back of her neck. Her face is flushing as she turns into a hornet. Cooley knows better than anyone else that Daphne Williams is definitely not an Indigenous person and is an imposter. But how on earth has she managed to pass the scan? The NDNA scan is flawless. It uses nutrigenic deoxyribonucleic acid, which uses light technology to solve the country's rampant Indigenous identity fraud issue. So how has she done it? Cooley goes up to her apartment and begins to work tirelessly throughout the night and into the next day. By sunset, Azur is back in the apartment. She reveals what she's found out. She was able to find Daphne's scan and verify its authenticity. Cooley has old connections that work at the Reparation Center that have verified without a doubt that Daphne's DNA is Indigenous. She also pulled up all her old research into Daphne's heritage and picked it over with a fine-tooth comb to 100% verify that Daphne is in fact not Indigenous. Then she shares with Azur that when she checked with an old source, she came across an alarming report that a new technology had been invented which allows people to change their genetic information. The rumor is that since national reparations came about in 2030, which ensures Indigenous communities were at last getting compensation long owed to them, the whites have been searching for a loophole to exploit the benefits for themselves. In the next few weeks, the team worked furiously to investigate. Was this the end of Indigenous sovereignty? Could whites literally turn themselves Indigenous? All of their research led them to this old lab in some bad part of town. Cooley decided to go there on a brief recon herself. She was a veteran at this after all. She noticed people coming in and out of the facilities, but she already had a workaround to this, and before you knew it, she caused the distraction she needed to get herself inside. It smelled like a hospital, and the hair on the back of Cooley's neck stood at edge. She could make out some lab technicians in the distance as she marveled at all sorts of tech and equipment she'd never seen before. Quickly, without being seen, she made her way to the research facility and started to transfer the files to Azur and the team. She smiled, as this would expose everything that they were doing. She could hear the lab techs in the other room. The file had sent. Today had been a victory. As she began to make her way out of the building, feeling the success, she was stopped in her tracks by a device. It was locked in a case and appeared to be some sort of handheld equipment. The case was labeled Gene Splicing Gun. This was it, the proverbial smoking gun. She reached her hand on the glass as she pondered the future of all Indigenous nations. Who was behind creating something like this? It was monstrous. She had to leave now. She had to tell the team. She started to go until she heard a familiar voice call her name.
Original Universe creation, composition, and production by Cooley Ross. Original theme and score by Real 8. These podcasts in the Something Else universe were brought to you by CFUV. Support Indigenous Arts. I can be contacted via Instagram at the_r.a.p_. Director's notes come next. Thank you for listening.
Let's take a big breath. That was heavy content. So Indigenous identity fraud is such a big issue in Indigenous communities, and it's very complicated. I definitely had several versions of this episode written and decided to start with this one to begin to address some of the concerns out of a myriad of concerns and complications that something like this brings. Definitely intentionally chose the title name, as we often call it cultural appropriation, a better name being cultural identity fraud, but definitely pathologizing it. It's, you know, and then the idea that if this is a pathology in our colonial society and it's left unchecked, what kind of havoc does it wreak? So that is the energy kind of behind some of the ideas here in this podcast. A quick disclaimer, any similarities in the story you just heard are purely coincidental. I have to say that for sure, because I don't want to be sued. That would be a real concern. And that segues me pretty nicely into the series that I talk about, the ND Ain'ts, as a podcast series that wins national acclaim in this world, which exposes numerous high-profile cases of cultural identity fraud in Indigenous communities, and how the reality of that is that if you did make a podcast like that, you would be potentially facing getting sued or libel and slander. So yeah, definitely I want to say that. And also, if anyone at Canada Land or Indian and Cowboy is listening and they want to pick that up, I have it already written. I've been working on it for years, a full series. So yeah, definitely that would be controversial, but amazing as well. And so this is me precariously living in that way. So yeah, definitely for all the listeners, there's a lot of issues that come up when we talk about this kind of cultural identity fraud or pretendians or fake teas. Indians was the name I coined it. And it's not unique to the Indigenous community, for sure. It's we see it actually at huge proportions these days now. You know, at long last, it's finally a little bit uncool to be white. And so we do see a lot of folks that no longer want to be white. They want to put something else on and try that on for a while. So, but with in Indigenous communities, there are a few issues and concerns and arguments that I have heard over the years, and I did want to take some time to kind of address some of them. Yay, fun. So I have heard the argument consistently around If you're an Indigenous person and you care, like I do, for example, and get yourself all caught up in caring about who is Indigenous according to colonial constructs. So within North America, the colonial governments decide indigeneity, which is like a whole other issue and not so much what we covered here in the podcast. So I won't really get into it. But if I ascribe to caring about that, that I myself am upholding and enforcing these colonial constructs. And so, yeah, that argument is very concerning to me because we don't live in 1491 anymore. We live in a colonized society. And so my options are to pretend like it's 1491 according to this argument, and colonial systems don't faze me or affect me by sheer willpower, or put my head in the sand and do nothing while gross atrocities continue to be executed. And so I just think that that argument just doesn't have any legs to stand on. Obviously, I am not a fan of many colonial systems, but my failure to recognize them or to work towards changing them doesn't mean that they don't exist. And so it is an unfortunate reality that we live in, and we have to start thinking of what moving forward looks like. And it doesn't look like in violence. It doesn't look like putting our head in the sands. It looks like today, as Indigenous nations, pushing for sovereignty and being able to, decide within our own communities the belonging, because not having that sovereignty for ourselves is playing out very violently, you know, and as it would, because the system of colonization is going to continue to self-replicate the violence that it's meant to replicate. And so that's just a little blip there. And the other argument that I hear all the time too, and I did briefly mention it in the podcast, is the one about lateral violence. And so the thing about that